watching The American Journal with Rex Jones. Watch it live right now at band.video.
You know, my father is a symbol of integrity to so many people around the world. And he's that symbol for a reason. And that's because for 32 years and longer than that, for that matter, he's been saying the exact same thing. He's been consistent on his message: pro-humanity, pro-constitution, anti-war, human supremacy, human empowerment, going to the stars and beyond. That's what he's always talked about. And now people have the expectation for us to blindly follow Trump around like a lap dog and to do whatever he says and to roll over on our belly for supposed treats. I'm sorry. Were you ever really a fan of this program, if that's what you thought? Of course, I know our real audience out there. I know they agree with me, or at least understand what I'm saying here. But we were around before Trump. We weren't just MAGA. We were 1776, and we were MAGA because we thought MAGA meant 1776. So now we're here trying to figure out what all this means. Going to go back to this clip of my father, the legendary Alex Jones.
I don't even dislike her. She's very sad. It's disgusting. Zero Hedge is reporting that the Iranian news, and we've got it, it's confirmed, is saying they're planning a strong response to Israel for continuing to just blow up whole neighborhoods. I mean, five blocks at a time, just everybody's houses, just killing everybody. And the news, little dead kids everywhere. I mean, this is just terrible. And it makes the Muslims look like the good guys. So I just cannot stand this. And I don't like being the bad guy. So I'm not going to support any of this. And I'm going to get more and more hardcore against it all.
Awesome. That's all we need to hear. Okay.
112 killed in Israel's devastating attacks.
Well, that's the point. And now to update, since the time of that, I believe that was early yesterday at around 11. Israeli strikes on Lebanon threaten the ceasefire. Lebanon's health ministry said at least 203 people were killed. So that's another 100 people killed, more than 1,000 wounded. And the number, I'm sure, is much higher now. And sure, the kill count or soon the kill count will be in the thousands. And, you know, then maybe the tap dance will begin. Maybe they'll be forced to, you know, pull out or at least temporarily withdraw, whatever they'll call it. But this is why everything going on right now is just, it's the absolute political apex. It's absolute zeitgeist. This is literally the Super Bowl of hell and death and politics and blackmail. Everything, the Epstein file, the Iran war, Ukraine war, China attacking, us attacking South America, Monroe Doctrine, all of it. This is stuff that's always been theorized, always been talked about as what would happen, what would usher in multipolarity, how would the empire, I know it's declining, it's been declining for a long time, how would it fall? It'll fall because of stuff like this. It'll fall because we can't even control our very basic ally, our strongest ally. They should do what we say, no? Right? You think how it would work. But, you know, just like Rome, you know, like the Germans, they stopped listening to the Romans, and eventually they conquered the country, and Alaric came and burned everything down. So we're rehashing that. I want to go ahead and show clip number three. This is an example of stuff, and I'm sure you can point, and I know you can because I've gone over them. You can point to incidents of United States soldiers doing war crimes and whatever. This is completely different, though. All right, the modern age, we have a professional military. This is not like a special forces mission gone rogue or anything like that. This is like a normal run-of-the-mill soldier, just like we have army soldiers, IDF soldier, like heavy equipment guy, tank guy, whatever you want to call them. And it's him shooting a video for his wife of him blowing up some poor Palestinian's home. And, you know, he's like, I do this for you, for the destruction of Amalek, for Amalek. So we're backing people that literally they're like chimpanzees with military equipment that are in a theocratic evil regime cult, which is what Israel is, not Iran. It's actually Israel that's more of a theocratic regime and a cult. But I want to go ahead and show this. I want you to look at the sick, degenerate glee on his face as he does this. Let's play the clip. My dear wife, Sarah, are you ready? There's going to be a big explosion. Ooh. To wipe off the memory of Amalek. To wipe off. Revenge. To take revenge of the Gentiles. Oh, pause it. Whoa. All right. So imagine if there were white people blowing up black people somewhere in Africa. And they were saying, oh, we're doing it to take revenge on these N-words. do you not see how on its face, just flat out like that, that's evil and wrong? But because they're the chosen people, they get to be racist, like hardcore racist, to the point where they want to genocide and kill the other people. What does he say? Actually, go back to the clip. What does he say about the Gentiles? What's the quotation there? We'll go back to that really quick because I want to make sure. Yeah. I was listening to that music too. The do. It's so sneaky. To wipe off the memory of Amalek, to wipe off revenge, to take revenge on the Gentiles. Well, what are you taking revenge for? Are you taking revenge on the Gentiles? Oh, we have to blow them up more because they don't want to let us take their land, and they're fighting against us. We're the oppressors. It's like, what's it? Oh no, I'm Darth Vader. Oh, the Jedi don't want to. The Jedi don't want to lay down and die. Like it's so insane. And you can look at the degenerate glee on his face. It's fun for him. It's happy making, just like George Soros said about being a Nazi collaborator. Being a Nazi collaborator was the best time of George Soros' life. He goes, it was happy making. It was the time to make you man. Stuff like this on 60 Minutes. Proud of it. Okay, like literally like little Jewish bloodhound, like seeking out the Jews for the Nazis. And this is how you can know. Like, here's the thing. History is blended. All right, there are some things that are real. There are some things that are fake. And you got to kind of look at the whole tapestry of things. Nazis were evil. All right. And why the Israelis are so evil now is they adopted that governmental system. And you'll see this often. They go, Jews, not so tough or not so easy to F with anymore or whatever. And like, first, like, nobody wants to F with you. Everybody just wants to leave you the fuck alone. Oh, sorry. My bad. Everybody just wants to leave you the hell alone. Like period. Everyone just wants to. Sorry for cursing. Everybody just wants to leave you alone. Nobody cares. It's not a problem. I mean, think about it. Black people kill each other in the streets of South Chicago every weekend. All right. It's a massive, massive problem. Black on black crime, gang violence, murder, child murder, all of it. It's a war zone down there. OK. Where's that talked about? Where's the solution for that? Where's the national board to prevent black on black crime, to save our urban centers, to save the urban youth, to save the cities? We don't hear anything about that. But someone, probably somebody wearing a tiny hat, will go and spray paint a swastika on a building, and then that's national news for like 2 weeks. Yeah, like you can have like drill rap, like gang culture, King Von running around sliming people out every weekend. And that's like glorified and like that's promoted to that community because they want to destroy black people. They want to hurt that community. Just like they want to hurt everybody else. That's why they're all our brothers, right? Like we're all getting hurt by these people. We're all getting hurt by this evil system, by the globalists that settled this whole thing up. But yeah, Chirac. Thank you, Matt. I almost forgot. Yeah, like we're not even talking about our own Middle East. Okay, we got our own problems over here. We got our own level of violence. It's just extreme. But like I was saying, if it's a swastika thing, or God forbid, and we never want anybody to get hurt, we never want any religious organization to get targeted. It's horrible when somebody attacks a synagogue, just like it's horrible when someone attacks a church or a mosque or any place like that, even like a Buddhist temple or anywhere people are going to nonviolently go and like engage in whatever they consider to be their spirituality or their religion. That's like literally enshrined in our Constitution to protect against, right? So really against it when that stuff happens. But when anything happens, okay, so someone like scratches their car, it's a national news story, but you can talk about King Von and Chirac and Pooh Shiesty and the insane gang crime and all of it. And that'll never get addressed. That'll never get talked about. Another example of that would be, how about instead of going to war with Iran, we went to war with the cartel? How about we spent $50 billion killing all the cartel people? Wouldn't that be a much better use of the funds? And maybe we could actually get that done too. Oh, but we can't have nice things because we have evil people in charge. And that's what it all comes down to at the end of the day. All right, I want to go ahead and play clip number 4. This is the opposition leader. This is like, I don't even know the example to give. I don't know, Chuckie Schumer or something on the Democrat side, if you're comparing like Trump being in power right now. This is the alternative leadership in Israel. Let's watch what they have to say about the dear leader, Bibi Netanyahu. Well, they don't like him.
Citizens of Israel
in a few hours or a day or two, whenever he feels it's possible to come out of the bunker, Bibi Netanyahu will appear before the State of Israel and will try to sell you that the campaign in Iran was a success. That would be a complete lie. The army did an amazing job, the best air force in the world, did everything they asked of it, and more positive. Okay, so a lot's lost in translation here. Okay, I'm not trying to describe things to him that he's not saying, but is he talking about us? Like the greatest air force in the world did everything that we asked of them to do? So like they're our boss, we take orders from these people? Like I'm just going to go into it right now. Not one American plane, not one American soldier, not one American bullet, not one American drop of blood ever should be spent in the Middle East again, period. And if we had that attitude and if we approached them with honor about it, like Trump faked out and did earlier, we went to the Saudis and said, literally, we got to play. All right, I got to write it down. I got to write it down so I don't forget it. I got to write it down. Forgive me. Trump, Saudi, neocon. Address. Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for that advice, Matt. But here's the thing, like these things just get memory hold. Trump literally went over there and gave the type of speech that I'm describing where he promised no more neocon wars in the Middle East and they're all happy in the audience. They're all clutching their heart. They're all smiling at Trump, whatever. Why couldn't we just do that for real? Seriously, why couldn't we just done it for real? If it was a good enough thing, a good enough idea to try to attempt doing it in the first place, why didn't you stick the course, Trump? Why didn't you stay the course? All right, let's go back to the clip. The army did an amazing job, the best air force in the world, did everything we asked of them. And more, the people of Israel showed national resilience and determination. We've inflicted severe damage on Iran precisely because of this. The complete failure is even more striking. What happened here is a political disaster on a scale I can't remember. I was prime minister. I was foreign minister. I don't remember such a political breakdown. It has become clear that military power without a political plan does not lead to victory. Netanyahu led us to an equally strategic collapse. There was a blasphemous combination of arrogance, irresponsibility, lack of planning, multimeter work, zero care in the home front, lies that were sold to the Americans, and the damaged trust between the two countries, military success that turned into a political disaster. I agree with a lot of that, right? And that's very plainly obvious, plainly true on its face. I mean, America will never have the same bond that it had with Israel before because they spent all their political capital doing this. And it's the insane combination of arrogance and lying. I think in another clip he also says, not sure if he said it there, there's a lot of fast-talking stuff going on there with the desert language. Ugh, but I'm not sure if he says it there. But he's like, Netanyahu gaslit us and lied to us in a series of like a theatrical press conferences. Well, who does that sound like? Well, who's getting this? Who's having the conversations and sharing the ideas on how to propagandize their people? Spoiler alert, Netanyahu and Trump. And look at his ears. Is he related to Marco Rubio? Maybe he's related to Marco. Look, he's like a Keebler elf, this guy. Those are like satellite dishes. I mean, he's got a contract with Dish TV. This is pretty crazy stuff. This guy runs the planet, y'all. This guy has more power than the president of the United States. This guy could end the world today if he chooses to. He has nuclear weapons at his disposal as I speak right now. He's probably talking about it. Look, yeah, it's like the same size. Actually, you know what? I think Satellite interference. Yeah, this is like when you get two magnets too close to each other. Look at the ears here. I think Marco's are bigger, though. I think they're a little bit larger. Very interesting. I've had people say I have big ears. My ears are normal size. Whatever. I don't have Marco Rubio-sized ears. But I'm going to get back to it. Let's see here. What was I going to say? Oh, let's go to the... Israel wiped out Hezbollah chief's top secretary in fresh strikes on Lebanon. That's an article I wanted to go to earlier, but I forgot to. That's from New York Post. Israel says it wiped out Hezbollah's chief top secretary and targeted strikes in Lebanon overnight as it ramped up attacks Thursday, despite the risk of throwing President Trump's Iran war ceasefire into turmoil. Ali Youssef Harsi, a secretary and nephew of the Hezbollah honcho Naeem Qassem, was killed in Beirut amid the fresh wave of bombings, the IDF said. And it's like, oh, like we killed somebody. Great military victory. And then the price tag on that is like 50 dead children in some like playground they blew up to kill the guy. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm not making things up. That's not hyperbole. That's the reality of the situation on the ground. I'm so sick of this. And it's just it's all the bragging, too. It's at the same time, overnight, the IDF struck a series of terror infrastructure in southern Lebanon. Yeah, like houses, like schools, like grocery stores, like where people are being peaceful. We've all seen the videos, pimp. We know you're lying to us, Mega. Like, we're serious about what's going on right now. Terror infrastructure in Lebanon. Crossings used to transfer thousands of weapons, rockets, and launchers, as well as weapons depots, launchers, and Hezbollah headquarters. Our message is clear. Whoever acts against Israeli civilians will be struck, he added. The fresh onslaught came after Israel launched its largest ever blitz on Lebanon on Wednesday, striking 100 targets in 10 minutes and killing more than 250 people. Airstrikes unfolded, and we've talked about this before, just after the Trump ceasefire. In response, Hezbollah, which initially said it would pause attacks on Israel, announced it would resume firing rockets Thursday. I talked about this a little bit in the first hour, and I just want to remind y'all of this again, of the situation of what's going on. The peace talks are still happening, even though the invasion of Lebanon is continuing, and this is going to be a topic of the talks, is what the Pakistanis have said, that everything can be addressed at the meeting. I've been checking literally hourly for updates from the Iranian sources on statements or on incoming missile attacks. And there have been the strait is still closed and stuff is still going on. But it does appear that we've entered into some sort of lull in the conflict. And I don't know whether on Iran's side they want a little time to reposition. I don't know whether on the American side, like we're promising to cut bait with Israel. Maybe we are negotiating with them. It's going to be very interesting to see. And I just want to reiterate again. All we have to do is stop. All we have to do is go. All we have to do is cut bait with Netanyahu and just let them deal with the mess that they've created. That's all we got to do. It's just so simple. And we don't have to have – and a lot of people talk about this, and I'm just like, come on, man. Everyone's like, we need to have a crusade because it's actually the Christian holy land, and we have to take it back, and we have to go do it. It's are you joking? Are you serious right now? We've been at war there for 30 years. Okay, we've killed millions of people in the Middle East. We lost thousands of American soldiers, tens of thousands killing themselves after what they've seen, witnessed, or forced to have done. Okay? And people are like, well, imperialism is good when we do it. And they point to like Venezuela, or they point to Greenland, or they point to an example like that where maybe you could argue for it. It's so far away from us. And it's in the middle of literally everything else. Every other country around the world, like every Eurasian country, has more of a claim there than we do, you know, to even interact with it. I wish that we could actually be an independent country and not a junior partner to a terrorist state in the Middle East that's completely bought out and betrayed our government. It really does suck. It's very sad. I want to go to clip number 6, and this is another video of what's going on in Lebanon right now.
Yeah,
I feel like they bombed. Yeah, so that's just a normal person running around with a Snapchat filter, having fun on their phone, just like you, just like your daughter, just like your niece, just like your nephew, just like your cousin, just like your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your parents, your grandparents, just like a normal human being because they're humans, okay? And they're Christians as well, but that shouldn't even matter, okay? Because everybody's created equal, everybody's created in the image of God, and they're literally just having bombs drop on their head. And they're having to run and scurry like rats into a building. And that's the thing, is the dehumanization becomes made real when these people are bombed. Because it's one thing to call them muzzies, one thing to call them muzzy pigs, like that guy that called in or whatever. It's one thing to call them brown people, brown clown. We don't care about brown people. It's white people only somehow. But then we worship the Jewish people in Israel who think that our God is boiling in excrement. and all that. It's just all ridiculous. But you want to talk about those people. You want to call them racial slurs. You want to kill them, too? Are you interested in that? You see this girl right here? You think she's a threat to your civilization, to your empire? You want to wipe her off the face of the earth? You want to pay for those bombs? Okay. All right. We're going to get people like you out of politics. Like, seriously. Like, we're going to work really hard at doing it. Anybody that's pro-death in 2 decades, we're gonna make sure there's not a place for you anymore in our political system, because these are human beings. And I say that every day. I say that 1,000 times because people need to hear it. They're people just like you and me, and they don't deserve this to happen. Okay, and we're being defamed too. All this is being done in our name. But it does reach a point where, like, silence is violence, and our ignorance of the problem is ultimately complicity in it, right? So that's what I rage against here on the show. I've got a lot more news coming up. I want to get into this as well. Eligible young men will automatically be registered for U.S. military draft. Oh, well, I thought that wasn't a problem. I thought everyone told me I was worried about that. Told me I was panicking. Told me that would never happen. You don't know. Well, you don't know anything about war, about Vietnam War, when I was your age, young man. Shut up. Shut up. Go play pool somewhere. Go play bingo somewhere. Go stare off into the sun and watch a fistful of dollars on a tube TV somewhere. Okay, like we're the ones, the 18 to 24 year old men that are just going to be shipped off immediately. And I'm in that group. Like, just going to be shipped off immediately if anything happens. And I just want to say, if you send me off to war, screw you. Seriously, you send anybody off to war, people that are volunteer military right now, screw you. And that's the thing. It's like, oh, the heroic rescue of the pilot, the heroic rescue of the pilot. We know that's all a cover up for the failed operation to seize the uranium, the Fast and Furious movie that they failed to do because Trump spent too much time at the cinema. Right. We know the truth about that situation. They go, oh, the brave pilot rescued the brave pilot. The brave pilot shouldn't have been put in that situation in an illegal war where Trump lied and said they had no air defense. We're the ones on our side that are logically consistent being anti-war because we just want this to stop. There's no justification for any of it. And people on the other side, even if they're for a limited strike, they have to come out and admit the truth now. They support war. They support genocide. They support murder. They support death as long as they support our ally, Israel. So thank you very much. We're going to be coming back with Anthony Graffio, and I'm taking calls in the third hour. Looking forward to hearing from you guys today. We got more news to get into, more information, powerful broadcast. I love you all. See you after the break.
We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro-cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultrastore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for auto ship. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bitly to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information's hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.